Good morning. Great to see you. I am so very proud of our young people. Looking forward to tonight and our worship together tonight as some of our young men lead us in our worship to God. And I am grateful to all of those who are responsible for planning and for making sure the trip to the Dominican Republic comes off. And very thankful for the group of people that are going. What a great blessing it is for them, but what a great blessing it will be for those people who are in the Dominican, who are planning even now for their coming. I'm very thankful to have good friends like Buddy Parsons. Buddy, saw him in Bible class. I see him back there. He's hiding behind Carrie. Buddy is one of my good buddies, and when I used to introduce Buddy to people, I would say, now let me tell you about Buddy. And I would say, of all the people in the world that I know, and then I would pause and I would say, now this is from the bottom of my heart. Of all the people in the world that I know, Buddy Parsons is one of them. And of course, he didn't know what to say to that. And he would smile. And he has, since early in our relationship, when he sees me almost every time. Now, I haven't been close enough to him today for him to say this, but he'll shake my hand and he'll say, are you always sharp? And I say, well, of course, I'm always sharp. Dumb as I can be sometimes, and poor decisions, but I'm always sharp. And so we have those exchanges, but I'm thankful for Buddy Parsons and love him. And I think about him when I think about my name. I think about him when I think about being sharp. He's always wanting to know, am I always sharp? So this morning, I decided to, as I took a look at this passage, it's a pretty long passage, and we only read a part of it, but we read a very significant part of that. As I think about being sharp, I had no choice when I came into the world. I had no choice. But then I have a choice every day. You have a choice every day. We decide to either be sharp or we decide to be dull. And we have to think about that. In fact, there are a lot of people that know me well, and some of those people have often, instead of asking me, am I sharp every day, they just call me Roy Dull. They know me really, really well. But as I think about my name and I think about what I want to share with you this morning, I want you to be serious about considering being sharp in the most significant way that we possibly can. And this is a great passage from which to help us think about the responsibility that we have. The point of the book of Hebrews is this. These people that are being written to are Jewish believers, and they've stepped out of Judaism and into Christ, but the persecution is heavy. Their kinsmen, their countrymen, are wanting them to come back into the Jewish religion in a full-blown way and leave Christ behind. And there was some persecution that went along with that. The writer urges them instead, listen, you move on from where you are unto perfection. And the word perfection here doesn't mean without flaw, without sin, as we often think about it, but it means mature. You leave being a baby, we're going to see, and become more grown up and more mature. And the reason is, there is a great superiority in Christ over against serving the law of Moses. There's so many reasons why you need to be moving on. And here are some of the reasons the book of Hebrews tells us about. It teaches us that pressing on, becoming more mature, leads to our faith being tested. It leads to self-discipline. And it leads to a visible love for God and for our fellow man that is seen in good works. All of us ought to be improving in all of those things, growing our faith, growing in our self-discipline, and growing in love that he's seeing in good works toward God, good works toward our fellow man. So that's the point of the book of Hebrews. But the writer here points out the problem that they are experiencing in this moment. The Christians have become spiritually lazy and shallow. I wonder what that means. I used to be one of the most active persons that you could have ever come in contact with. If I had the chance, I would play from the time I got up until I went to bed at night. When I was in high school in the summertime, that's exactly what I did. There was a park down the street from my house in Memphis. As soon as I got out of bed and got something to eat, sometimes before I got something to eat, I was gone to the park. My mom didn't have any trouble finding me. She could get me anytime she wanted to. I would be down at that park playing. And that was a great place. There were college students that ran a recreation program. And I was so active, but I have become so lazy. I used to hunt and fish and play golf and do all kinds of things, play tennis. There were so many things that I enjoyed and loved doing. I was very, very active. I have now become lazy and sluggish physically. And I hate it. I hate it when I think about it. But in order to get up and do something about it, I hate what I have to do that. I don't want to get up and I don't want to do what I know I need to be doing. So when I start thinking about myself becoming spiritually lazy and spiritually sluggish, I can identify with that because I see how I have reacted physically in my lifetimes. It's easy for me to become lazy and sluggish. For example, I remember times when I've gone out to the nursing home every Sunday, worship with the groups that go out there to lead the worship, and I would visit many, many people, and wow, how easy it is to become spiritually lazy and sluggish and sit right there in my recliner, sleeping, watching a ball game of some kind, watching a golf match, doing something besides getting up and being active and doing what I know I ought to be doing. So I understand that. These people have become so spiritually lazy and shallow that the Hebrew writer says here in these verses, you ought to be teachers. You ought to be teachers. We have a lot of great people at this place who teach. We're always needing teachers. And we're grateful for those of you who teach. Thank you. It's hard work. It takes discipline. You have to get up. You have to stop thinking about, let me go do this worship thing, and then go back to life. You have to have that as a part of your life. Unless you want to stay where these people were, that were being written, if you are still there. You ought to be teachers, but now you need somebody to come back and teach you. What a sad place to be, because you see, these people had a problem. They still needed milk. Boy, these beautiful little babies that we have in our congregation, they are so neat, and we love them, and we watch them take that milk, and we watch them grow, and I'm amazed at how quickly they grow and how quickly they want something else to eat. They quickly find out where McDonald's is and whatever else place they like to go. They transition from that milk to solid food, and we like that. We want that. Something is wrong if that doesn't happen. Well, the Hebrew writer is saying something's wrong with some of you people. You are still at the level where you need spiritual milk. You need to grow up. You need to be teachers. You need to be mature enough to help other people instead of just being helped alone as someone needs to teach you. We need to grow. So they had this kind of a problem. So there's a great need. If we are going to mature physically, we will transition, and we have transitioned. into solid food. Now, there may be some illness, some problem where an adult does not eat solid food, but must have something that's mushy and can just slide down. But we know that something's wrong when we are there. But we tend to look at people who are spiritually immature and need help and need solid food. We see them still in need of spiritual milk and still need to be taught, and we think very little about it. So we need a transition in our thinking. It was not a lack of intelligence on their part. They had already been enlightened. They had received a knowledge of the truth, this passage teaches us. They had plenty of ability. Was not it. So Paul says, about this kind of thing, we have much to say. And it's hard to explain. That's what Paul said, or rather the writer said. Some people think it's Paul, others do not, many do not. But the writer says, look, this is a hard thing to explain. I recently was teaching the Faith and Family class, and we were talking about prayer. And one of the times, or two of the times at least, maybe, we talked about the role of the Spirit in our lives and in our prayer life. And there were some folks that were really excited about that. Is that hard to understand? Well, it is for some people. We talk about how we think about the Spirit of God. Some suggestions were made. There's a little voice on your shoulder. Some people think of it like Casper the Friendly Ghost. And there were a number of ways in which we learned that people think about the Spirit of God. Is it hard to understand? It is a little bit more difficult to understand than thinking about this physical body that we have. But God wants us to move on from just thinking in physical terms and begin to think seriously about spiritual things. And so the writer had a lot to say, but he's saying, you just don't get it. I've had the great blessing of helping to raise three children, and now I'm in the process of helping to raise grandchildren. My children and grandchildren will say, well, why do you want us? Recently, I had somebody to say to me, why do you want me to go to the lake with you? There's nobody up there for me. There's nothing for me to do up there. And I'm going to say, okay, let me tell you my feeling. We're a family. We need to do things together. And if you go, I will do what you want to do on this day or that day. I will go eat where you want to eat if you want to go somewhere to eat. But I want to do things together with you. We are family. What's the next word that comes out of my child's mouth? Anybody over here know? Well, why? I don't get it. I don't get why I have to go. I don't get why I have to do that. And you see, I could say over and over and over again, and those young folks don't get it. Is it because you all are so dumb? Is it you're so dumb you just can't understand, read my lips kind of thing? You see, it's not that at all. Some of you are a lot smarter than I am. I've seen that, and I recognize that. So it's not intelligence, but it's a place in life. It's where you are, and you will stay there unless you choose to grow. And that's what happens to Christians. We're going to stay where we are unless we choose to be sharp instead of being dull. And you see, the dull part here just says, I don't want to learn. I like where I am, and I don't want to be anywhere different. I want to be who I am. I want to go where I go. I want to do what I do. And I don't want to transition into anything that's different. So I'm staying here. You see, that's what Paul was dealing with. Christians who were saying, I don't get that. Why? I don't understand why you're telling me I need to do these things. But they don't want to dig deeper and find out. We have much to say about this, but it's hard to understand why, since you have become dull of hearing. And the word dull there just means slow. It means slothful. It means lazy. It's not a lack of intelligence. It's not that he's talking to a group of people that have no intelligence, but they had a great need. And their need was not just being dull and slow and slothful and lazy in spiritual matters. They had a great need to move forward and to grow deeper in faith and maturity. But that's not easy. Now, I want to talk to these young folks again. Now, you all are, some of you have a car available to you already. You're 16 or older, and you get the key now and then, and you get to take off. Some of you probably have your own vehicle. Now, why can't you just go get in that vehicle and go anywhere you want to, anytime you want to? You see, Mom and Dad are probably going to say, whoa, wait a minute, we need to talk about that. But when you begin to think, and I'm sure that maybe at least one of you has to pay for insurance, you have to buy the gas, you have to do the car payment. I'm sure there's at least one or two of you that may be involved in that, but most of you, Mom and Dad, are still doing that. And you see, if you grow up and you do what you are going to do in terms of maturity, it's going to cost you a lot of money for that insurance and that gas and the oil changes and all the kinds of things that come about when you drive a vehicle. Well, you see, what you want to do is you want to grow, but you're not going to get to do that without a price. Those of you who are out there listening to me who recognize that spiritually you are slow and slothful and you become lazy like I have physically, you may be saying, man, I need to get up. I need to go. I need to be involved. I need to be teaching. And you may see a lot of things, but let me tell you this, just like all of us recognize how difficult it becomes to stand on your own two feet paying rent and buying food and all the insurances and all those things, that's tough stuff. The same kind of principle of hard work and a price to pay is involved in getting up and moving forward and growing deeper in faith and maturity. Verse 1 of chapter 6 says, therefore, because you are slow and dull and lazy, get up and let us move on and become more mature people. But it's about solid food. And spiritually, that means you begin looking at the tough questions in life. And you begin to dig deep enough to be able to tell people, this is what I believe the Bible teaches. You don't just say, well, you know what? Roy Sharp had a sermon on that, or Billy Smith had a sermon on that, or a Bible teacher had a class on that, and here's what they said. You're going to get up and dig deep and grow mature enough to say, this is what I believe God teaches about whatever topic you are needing to talk about and study. Solid food spiritually is tough. But it's for those who have their powers of discernment trained. You see, you can't just say, well, listen, let me tell you about the Holy Spirit of God and how the Holy Spirit works in our lives as Christians. You aren't going to be able to just dream up some things or casually be able to teach a message about that, or have your own faith about how the Spirit of God works in your life without digging deep and studying and thinking and looking at what the Bible teaches about all of that. You're going to have your powers of discernment, being able to decide between this thought and that thought. I've talked to people who believe the Holy Spirit guides them in every decision that they make, and that they could not have made any other decision. All the decisions in the world have been taken out of their hand. See, that makes no sense at all, because God gives us great responsibility. We are responsible for decisions, not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God leads us in our thinking if we're willing to dig and understand what God says about life. But the Spirit does not make us do this or make us do that. We choose those kinds of things. Is the Spirit involved in our lives? Yes, it is. How is it? I invite you to dig deep and study and learn and train your ability to choose what is right, for example, as we were talking about the work of the Spirit, you're able to choose what is good from that which is evil. And you learn that by practice. You work on it. You think about it. You plan it. And it becomes a great part of your life. But in this text, there's a warning. There's a warning. There is a point of no return. The Hebrew writer is teaching them, do not fall back and be dull. Don't be sluggish. I put in, be sharp. And by being sharp, I am talking about putting in the effort it takes to know God's will. The easy things, the hard things. Keep on working. Boy, there's some super brilliant people in this room who have studied and studied and studied. But there's not a person in this room that knows everything there is to know about God. We just keep thinking and learning and growing. We keep not wanting to fall back and be dull, but we want to keep working and we want to be sharp. Now, this passage says it's impossible to renew those to repentance. Now, this is one of those passages that you have to dig a little bit deep on. It's not one of those really simple things where it says, well, God just throws these people over here in a lump, and I don't care what they do, they can never come back. Is that what God's saying? Of course it's not what God is saying. But I'm telling you, God is teaching us that if we keep walking in that direction, you will never be renewed. You will never come back to repentance. You will never be saved. I don't know how anybody could look at a passage like this and say it's impossible to fall away from God. The warning is don't fall away. You are with God. You are one with Him. You have your sins removed. You are blessed as a child of God. Don't fall back and become dull and be a part of the world. You be sharp. You keep working. You keep learning. And here's what he says about those people that will never be renewed to repentance. They've been enlightened. That is, they have received a knowledge of the truth. It's not that they don't know what to do. This is a deliberate effort to forget about God, to forget about His will, and to walk in the way that you want instead of in the truth of God's Word. You see, they're deliberately going in a different direction. They've tasted the heavenly gift of God. They had been where they loved God. They obeyed God. They had been, as we put it sometimes, on fire for God. They felt good. They loved worship. They loved service. They've been there and tasted that heavenly gift of God's grace and mercy and love. And they shared in the Holy Spirit. You can read a lot about that. There are a number of people who believe that this is talking about some of those people had been endowed with miraculous gifts, and that would be perfectly reasonable in the first century, wouldn't it? Some of those people had faith that was given to them by God. They had knowledge given to them by God. They had power of different kinds given to them by God. But it's also everybody. Not everybody had the gift of the Holy Spirit in the sense of miraculous gifts. So those people, did they have the Spirit of God as well? Of course. We studied about that in our class today. We have the Spirit of God within us. God works in our lives in amazing ways. And so those people had shared in the work of the Holy Spirit, perhaps some of them miraculously, but some of them, I just put ordinary, and I'm telling you, that's a terrible word, but I didn't know a better word. It's not ordinary the way the Spirit works in any of our lives. But you see, we need that, and we know that. These people have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come. That is, they had received the blessings that had come from being a part of the kingdom of God. They had all of that. But they said no to that, and they're walking away from God deliberately. It wasn't them just under pressure in a moment of great temptation and made a mistake. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of refusing God, of refusing to do what He says, of refusing to be sharp, to avoid being dull. We need so very much to continue to be blessed by God, by His will. As we continue to think about this warning, there are two great illustrations here. One of them is found in verse 7, and one of them is found in verse 8. Look at this passage as it comes to us. Here are the illustrations. For those people that have stayed sharp, if you'll let me use that term, to indicate spiritual maturity and growing and being what God wants them to be, they are like a land that has drunk the rain that often falls on it and produces a crop useful to those for whose sake it's cultivated. Boy, you can drive up Highway 45 and you can see some beautiful, beautiful crops. That's going to pay off. It's going to produce. But on the other hand, Jan and I were driving up through Linden, and right on the other side of the Buffalo River on the left, down in that river bottom, there was a field that had been planted. The crop had come up and gotten started growing, and then a flood came. They aren't going to get anything out of that field unless they replant, because those plants are not going to mature. They're not going to produce. And it is as worthless as a field that is just full of thorns and thistles. It's worthless and near to being cursed. And its end is to be burned. That's what happens to us when we are dull spiritually. We are like that kind of a field. So this morning, as we think about what this means to us, more specifically, what does this mean to me? And if you're thinking as you should, you're going to be thinking about what does all of this mean to me? It's about being sharp spiritually, growing and maturing and working and doing and becoming better equipped every day, or staying dull. We have some very sharp people in this room, but everyone in this room who is sharp has to continue to work, to stay sharp. Do not fall back and not be dull or sluggish. We need to show the same earnestness so that we have that full assurance of hope until the end. When we are first baptized into Christ, boy, we're so excited. We need to keep that earnestness. Don't lose your faith and fall away from the Lord and all of His goodness. Imitate those people who through faith and patience and long-suffering inherit the promise. And in this reading, we have Abraham, and there are others like him. Imitate those people who hung in there and press forward, like the example of those before us. Those good people, they received the promise that God gave to them. Had to wait a long time for it sometimes, but they received the promise. This morning, I'm encouraging all of us to think about being sharp. Because if we don't, we will become dull. And when we are dull spiritually, the end result is not good. So look at your life this morning and see where you are with regard to your life and where you're going, what decision you need to make this morning. Remember, every day it's a decision either be sharp or be dull. And this morning we're going to sing a song that is an invitation for you, if you need to respond publicly. You may need to renew that relationship with God in order to stay sharp. So if you need to respond, to be baptized, or to come as a child of God needing prayers and help, we hope you'll do that. Come as we stand and as we sing. Thank you.